Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo.
Can I say something? Because I've given you a lot of grief about being late, and lately, like the 3-4 times we've met, you've been here on time.
I have been.
One day you even came before me, which is surprising.
I've been waiting for this
acknowledgement.
Acknowledgement, yes.
Okay. That explains your big smile right now.
So I think you were counting on me being late today. So you made a request, didn't you, on my way over here?
Yes.
Was I stopping for
coffee? Well, I was just asking if you... So some days ago...
You were assuming I was still on the road.
Not assuming. I thought of it, and then I forgot, and then I texted, you are Starbucks, or...
Right.
And there is one very close, so I thought, maybe you are there, and you can bring me one. But, you know, people who are a little late, but they still come with the Starbucks, and then you think, maybe next time, instead of bringing the Starbucks, you come on time.
Guess what? I do that sometimes. And I hope people won't notice. Maybe you've noticed.
So now everybody late. Will
like
notice.
Like coming with a hot coffee.
So you had time to get coffee, so you could... Anyway... All right, here we are, Two Guys and a Gospel. My name is Father Ricardo Martin. I'm the pastor at Sacred Heart Parish in Racine, Wisconsin, and also the Vice Chancellor here in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee.
And I'm Father Philip Ogacki. I'm the pastor at Christ King Parish and St. Bernard Parishes in Wauwatosa, just in the Milwaukee area as well. And we're going to be looking at this coming Sunday, which is what? It's a special feast again.
The solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ, traditionally known as Corpus Christi. Okay. I believe we had the same situation with the Ascension. It's a feast that in Europe, it's still celebrated on Thursday,
correct.
I believe. And here in Milwaukee and in most dioceses in the U.S., we transfer that feast to Sunday.
Right. So that's what we're going to celebrate now this coming Sunday. So it makes two special feasts now to begin ordinary.
So 1 week after Pentecost, we celebrate the Holy Trinity, and very connected to the Holy Trinity also, we celebrate 2 weeks after Pentecost, we celebrate Corpus Christi celebration.
All right. So how about I read the Gospel? Where am I reading from today?
You are reading from Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 12 to 16, and also 22 to 26.
On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you, carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there." The disciples then went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take it. This is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
It's in my nature that if I see, I'm suspicious by nature. And it says that we are reading Mark 14, 12 to 16 and 22 to 26. So I had to go and check what's 17 to 21. And it's the announcement of the betrayal of Judas. So it makes sense. Here we are focusing on, it's the Last Supper.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, one of the discoveries of this year during during Easter, one thing we did was the decoration of my church was we planned a new system to do the washing of feet in a way that would be better and more people could come and do it. We don't go to 12 people. We go to more. We invite anybody to do it. So we bought 6 very big jars of water, and then we kept them there as a reminder of that. But then we realized that many of the Gospels during Easter are a reference to that room.
Yeah.
Jesus appears to the disciples in a room, and I kind of believe, I think, that it could be open to discussion, but that everything that happens in the during Easter happens in that room. It's the room where the disciples come back to, the room where the Eucharist was instituted, the washing of feet in John's Gospel. You know, I thought it was an interesting decoration this time, and that's the point we're trying to make.
I connect you then to the Emmaus reading, which we heard a number of weeks ago.
That's where the disciples come back. Yeah.
From Luke, and where the disciples are gathered in the room, except two of the disciples who kind of walk away.
Exactly.
Or think of Thomas, too, of course, where kind of walk away from that. And that whole concept of community, not the concept, but the reality of community, and coming together and the church present together as one. And then what happens when we walk away?
You know what I discovered the other day? I was talking to actually it's a friend of the Archbishop's that we've connected. We both bake.
Okay.
He's Jewish, and he told me that he was talking about something else. It seems that for a Jewish funeral, you need 10 people.
Okay.
10 people to pray.
I may have heard this before.
So if you count, that's 11. Judas is not there, and then Thomas is not present, so you have 10 people. They're celebrating a funeral.
Interesting.
Instead of celebrating the risen Christ, it's one more confirmation of what we knew, that that community is looking for Jesus among the dead and not the living. Who knows if that's the reality, but something that it's interesting to reflect on.
It's one of those things, even if it isn't true, it's interesting to think about that it might be.
Are we trying not to talk about the body and blood of Christ? So we read a very beautiful gospel, the institution of the Eucharist, which is what makes us who we are. I mean, we are not a non-profit. We are not just an institution of rituals. We are people of the Eucharist, and that's what defines us the most, I would think.
As we read this here from Mark's Gospel, I think in particular about John chapter 6 is another spot, but as you look in the Gospels, I certainly don't mean this as a critique or a challenge at all, but it's hard not to see here the real presence. I mean, it's really hard to be really faithful to what Jesus is saying here and to say that it's symbolic, what he's speaking of, or something that's just a memorial. He's saying, this is my body. It's very clear and it's very simple. And I just think that that's important as part of our discussions, as we look at ecumenical discussions, and I run into this with those generally from outside the Catholic Church who do beautifully take the Bible very literally in a lot of ways, but can be kind of selective when it comes to the Eucharist. And say, well, that's not really the real presence, and have ways to explain away this, or John chapter 6 is the other part where Jesus says over and over.
Real presence of Christ means Jesus promises his church, his community, that he will be with them. And this is one of the many ways in which Jesus stays with us. And then in First Communions, I normally tell the children what we sing in that famous song, become what you receive. If this is, Jesus says, remember me by doing this means doing the Eucharist, but then follow up with the rest of what he did, not only the Eucharist, but taking care of people, healing, you know, making disciples, baptizing people, everything we do. The strength of everything we do comes from the real presence of Christ.
I agree with that, of course, but this is also the source and the summit of the Christian life, and that's the great way, that's the way the church has described this, and I think, so all of that flows from the Eucharist, and all it's connected, and it makes sense. So you said we've had First Communions. I had mine a few weeks ago for my parishes.
I had First Communion. It was beautiful. That day that we had the disciples of Emmaus, the coming back, they recognized him in the breaking of bread. So that I thought it was an amazing coincidence. Sacred Heart has the First Communion the third weekend after Easter. So it could be another reading. The third weekend of Easter. Third Sunday in Easter, it could be another reading. But that one was beautiful.
I try as much as I can to de-emphasize the word first, you know, in communion, and kind of that this is the first time, and to make this a special event. And I say it to the kids often. I did again this year. You know, this is on your calendar. You knew you were going to be here. The most important is next week.
Yeah.
And it's all about the journey. It's about a lifelong journey with the Eucharist. And these children now are beginning that very special relationship with Jesus in the Eucharist. But it's this lifelong journey of coming every single Sunday.
Yeah.
And that's the bigger challenge when it's not in the calendar. There's not people, you know, family and friends around, and a little cake afterwards.
Yeah.
But to come back then, Or you come back, you know, in life when you're struggling. You come back and perhaps at the near the end of your life at Viaticum. I administered Viaticum today to a parishioner as she prepares for her final journey back to the Lord. And, you know, it's that lifelong relationship with the Eucharist that begins at First Communion. Mm-hmm. I try not to make First Communion such an event. I lose at that battle in some ways.
Two things I would like to say. I do the same with First Communion. I tell at the end of Mass, I tell them, children, I hope to celebrate your Second Communion next weekend and your Third Communion 2 weeks from now and your Fourth Communion. And then I stop because we could be there the whole day. Then you mentioned the Viaticum, which is very interesting because the ritual is for someone who is dying and you cannot always administer the communion. And I've always struggled a little bit with this.
Very rarely as a priest in 10 years now and you for 15, have I administered Viaticum. And it's often because when I get the call, at that point, the person generally is not able to swallow mm-hmm. even a small piece of the Eucharist or is not quite conscious. And so this was actually a rarity where I could do that. And the person was open and accepting yeah. about this point in their journey, too. Sometimes if one is alert, their family and others are fearful.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll say, Father.
We don't call it last rites, but Viaticum.
Yes.
Is last right. So it's very interesting that, yeah.
But it's that lifelong journey with the Eucharist. And here Jesus, it's what Jesus asked us to do. There's a lot of ways we can pray and grow close to Jesus, but he asked us to be faithful, be faithful to this, which he does in the Last Supper.
One line we can use today is if Jesus says, if this is the real presence of Christ, you, by receiving communion, you get the strength to become the real presence of Christ for others.
Mm-hmm.
So that others see Christ in what we do and what we say.
It's
one way to do it.
It's that continued mission, though. It's that mission with Jesus Christ and us cooperating with that.
Mm-hmm.
And you point out here, it's with the Eucharist as well. So I think we've got some good things to talk
about.
And
we were theologically sound. I don't think we pronounced any heresies.
So Mass this weekend, come to the Eucharist, celebrate the body and blood of Christ. Masstimes.org is a national website to go, and archmill.org is the website within the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. So as always, you want to get together next week again?
Sure.
All right, let's do that. So have a good day.
You too, Philip.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We want to help others, especially in places of strife, such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way. Buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land Gift Shop, bringing the Holy Land home.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.